Number 11 this morning, Acts chapter number 11, Acts 11, verse number 12, we'll start there, we'll be in Acts chapter 10 a little while as well, this last Sunday before our missions conference. I want to preach a message that the Lord gave to me about the hand of the Lord and the significance of the hand of the Lord and what we could be and what we are with the hand of the Lord upon us as a local New Testament church. And I want to kind of apply that into missions before this next Sunday. I'm very much looking forward to our missions conference and what the Lord would have us do in the area of missions this next year. I'm looking forward to what God has done in each and every family here. Looking forward to hearing testimonies in the long run, and pray for the preachers that are coming in and the families. It'll be a good time. I challenge you to try to be here if you can each and every night. I know it's a lot, but if you can be here, I promise you, you'll receive a blessing. Acts chapter number 11, let's pray and we'll get right into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we come to you boldly as we sang about this morning. And in the name of Jesus, God, just bind the devil off this place today. Bind the devil off the minds and hearts of your people. Lord, bind the devil off the reading of your word, the preaching of your word, Lord, and just out of this room, off this property. God, we want to hear from heaven today. God, I ask you now to just, sweet Holy Spirit, cover each and every one of your people this morning. And Lord, if someone don't know you this morning, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Holy Spirit, we're trusting you to do your work. We just want to be obedient to you. Bless the junior church hour. Lord, bless those kids. Lord, bless those workers. Lord, give them words and wisdom to teach, and Lord, what it is that you would have those kids learn today. And Lord, if some of them young people don't know you, Lord, may today be the day of their salvation. Thank you for the ones that you've saved already. Lord, we're looking forward to many, many more coming to know you through the ministry that you've given us here at New Hope Independent Baptist Church. Lord, thank you again for just being a God that we don't deserve. Lord, the song we sang, the half hasn't been told. I'm thankful for what we do know, but Lord, I'm looking forward to everything that you have laid up for us. And Lord, may we strive down here to lay up treasures in heaven. And Lord, by doing so, may we win many, many souls to Christ. Now, Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self this morning. Fill me with your Spirit. Allow me to preach with clarity what it is that you've given me to give to your people. Lord, get me out of the way, and Lord, let your people hear from you. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Acts chapter 11, verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send me to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be," what, church? "Saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And the hand of the Lord was," what, church? That caught my eye as I was reading this. "And the hand of the Lord was with them." And look what happened after that. "And a great number," what? "And turned unto the Lord." Now, I could preach a message off of just that verse for probably hours and weeks and days. But can I say this? Unless the hand of the Lord is with us, there'll be no salvation. There'll be no turning away from the devil and turning unto God without the hand of the Lord being involved. We pray all the time that God will bind the devil off of our ministry and off of everything that we do. Folks, we need to not only be binding the devil off, but praying the hand of the Lord on our ministry here at our church. We need God's hand to be a part of what we are going to do if it's going to be for eternal gain. Now sure, we as individuals, you and I, there's a lot that we can do. Let's just be honest. We can do some things on our own. We can get in our cars and we can drive. We can come to church. We can sit down. I don't want to say we don't need God, but we, you know, there's some things that we can do in and of ourselves. But if you go back into the book of Genesis and you look at an offering that a young man named Cain gave, you remember Cain and Abel? See, Cain gave of the offering that he had produced. He was a tiller of the ground and a worker, and everything that Cain's hands produced, he thought would be good enough for God. But see, Abel gave the burnt sacrifice, the blood sacrifice. Folks, there's some things that we just cannot do without God. And one of those things is winning souls. We need the hand of the Lord on our church. We'll, I don't want to spoil the message. We'll get into that a little bit later. Look at verse 22. The Bible says this. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should what? Now notice, the church sent Barnabas. Do you guys see that? That's missions right there. The church sent out Barnabas that he should what? Go as far as Antioch. What do you think they sent him out to do? Preach the gospel. What do we send missionaries out to do? Preach the gospel abroad to people that we're never going to see. God, you know, very strategically instructs certain individuals. I don't believe every man, woman, boy, and girl is called to a certain country. I don't believe that. I don't believe everybody's called to be a pastor. I don't believe everybody's called to be a deacon if they're deacons in churches. I believe God calls certain people for certain things. Everybody okay with that? Now listen, we're going to meet some people next week that God, no doubt, has called to places that we're never going to step foot in unless you somehow buy a ticket and go on vacation, probably, or maybe you'll go on a mission trip there someday. But our church supports missionaries in countries that many of us have never even been and probably will never even go. But God has given us the ability to help support that missionary and his wife and his family as they go and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to worlds that we cannot reach ourselves. Amen? And it's the local church's job to take care of those missionaries and to send them forth and to raise up. You know, I think another goal of us, of ours, should be to raise up young men, raise up young preacher boys. I appreciate that we have young men in this church that have some zeal to want to preach the Word of God. It's good for me to have people come to me saying, hey, when are you going to let me preach? When are you going to let me preach? When are you going to let me preach? When are you going to? I love that. Because then I have to sit there and think. I'm like, okay, well, here's what I tell them. Look, you get a message ready. You come talk to me, and we'll get you a time to preach. I don't ever want to tell somebody they can't preach. I want young men to have that zeal and that desire to serve God. I want young ladies to grow up and desire to work in the ministry that God's called them to do. Amen? You know what we need? We need some young ladies that are okay with saying, you know what? If God lets me marry a preacher, that'd be a good thing. Amen? If God wants me to marry somebody that wants to be in the ministry full time, hey, I'll do that. Young lady, there's no better life than the life of the ministry. Young man, there's no better life than the life of the ministry. It's tough. But it's like one preacher said, it's not for everybody. God didn't call every man to full-time ministry. But God did call each and every one of us to preach His gospel, did He not? He sure did. Verse 23, the Bible says this, who when he came, talking about Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, notice the church sent Barnabas, and immediately Barnabas saw the grace of God. You know what? We would see the grace of God if we would be obedient. What if Barnabas had not gone? It says he saw that, seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the what? And of faith. And much people was what? Added unto the Lord. So what is the importance of having the hand of the Lord in our ministry this morning? I want to try to lay this out to you the best I can as the Holy Ghost gave it to me. What is the importance of the hand of the Lord and what it means for me and what it can do for me? When the Spirit of God, notice in verse number 12 of our text there in chapter 11, when the Spirit of God commands you to do something, there will be no doubting that it is the Spirit of God. In verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the Spirit," that's a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, "bade me," what? "Go with them." And then the next two words says what? "Nothing doubting." What he's trying to get a point across to us here is this. God commanded him to do something and there was zero doubt in his mind that it was the Holy Ghost of God. God is not going to instruct you to ever do something and leave you confused about it. That is not the God we serve. He is able to give clarity. Listen, is God able to save our souls? God owns our spirit. If we're saved, we're part of the Holy Spirit. We're heirs with Christ. If you have enough faith to trust God to save your never-dying soul, do you think that that same God with His Holy Spirit can give you some clarity for your life without you worrying about, is it God, is it God, is it God, is it God? He has the ability to do so. You see that in verse number 12. There's no doubting when it is the Spirit of God. God never does anything to confuse us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." You know, I'm sure you've experienced the peace of the Holy Ghost of God before. And see, here's the reality. When you experience peace, it's nothing but God. Amen? The devil ain't ever brought nobody no peace. It's all confusion. It's all your mind's thinking about 100 different things and you never get anything done and you're just running over here, you're running over there. Meanwhile, you still have that promise that God gave you. Hey, you still have that instruction, that command that God so very strategically gave you and you're sitting there wondering, well, could God really have been talking to me when He said, do this? And the devil says, boy, what a good thought. You know, you're probably right. God probably didn't really mean you. Probably didn't want you to do that. He probably didn't mean your family. He probably meant somebody else. Folks, that's the devil. I learned a long time ago from a preacher that, I mean, a great man of faith. He said this, where God guides, He goes. And where God guides, He provides. Oh, if you and I could learn to live and love that truth. Notice the obedience of the command produced positive and eternal results. God always has a reason behind what He asks us to do. It is never a waste of time, nor it is ever wise to question what God has commanded us. The obedience of the command there in verse number 12 and 13, it says, "And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter." Look in the book of Acts chapter number 10. I want to show you what they're referencing here. Something I like about the Bible, sometimes we read verses and we're like, what in the world are they talking about? You ever had that happen to you? Well, if you look back in chapter number 10, you'll see where this story originated. Chapter number 10, verse number 30, the Bible says this, "And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my" what? "And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing." Notice in chapter 11, he called him an angel. "And said, Cornelius, thy prayer is" what? Don't you love it when God reveals to you that your prayers have been heard? Don't you love it that you can trust that God loves you enough and cares about you enough to listen to your prayers? He said, "Cornelius, thy prayer is heard and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done." that thou art come. Now therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God? Look at this. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of what? Persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Here's the word that he sent. He is Lord of all. Hey, do you know why God calls missionaries to go out? To give this same promise. He gives those missionaries the ability to go learn a whole new language. Many of them will go and they'll spend the first year and a half to 2 years just learning how to communicate with the people that God sent them to. If they get lucky, they go to an English-speaking country. That's where I would hope God would send me if he ever calls me to be a missionary. I don't have in my mind the time or really the desire to learn another language. But guess what? God hasn't called me to another country, but he's called them. And why has he called them? Because he wants them to know. He wants the people there to know that, hey, I'm the same Lord of all. The same God that's in South Alabama is in South Africa this morning. He's in South America this morning. He's in Alaska. He's in America, Samoa. He's in every single one of these countries that you see their flags represented. He is Lord of all, and he's no respecter of persons. And somebody's got to go warn them that there's a never-dying soul within each and every one of those bodies, and hell is hot, and heaven is real, and Jesus Christ died for each and every one of them. Everybody has an opportunity to be saved. God sends missionaries out to warn those. Imagine living in a place and never had heard about Jesus. We don't know what that's like. We have no idea what it's like to not hold a Bible ever. We have no idea what it's like to not have a church to come worship in. We have no idea what it's like to be dumbfounded when some family from America who was sent by some local churches shows up in your country and they look different, they talk different, they act different, they dress different, everything about them is different, and they knock on your door and they say, sir, ma'am, this is going to sound crazy to you, but God sent me here to warn you about hell. God sent me here to tell you about Jesus Christ who died for your never dying soul. He died for all your sins. And they say, what on earth are you talking about? And then they have the opportunity. Let me show you a Bible. What's a Bible? Imagine being in a place like that. Folks, my desire is that our hearts would break for those people and those people. And notice we have America and Israel right here. My desire is that God would give us a burden to see more missionaries on the field. Because here's what we have to look at. It's all eternal gain. Every single bit of it. Every single soul that you'll never know the name of. Every single testimony that you'll hear from missionaries that'll say, hey, it's because of your prayers and your financial support and your kindness and your obedience that we're able to stay on the field. See, they can't go over there and get jobs in many of those countries. Some of them do work side jobs. I know some missionaries that they do some side work and they provide for their families. But if it weren't for local New Testament churches, none of those people would have a preacher there. There'd be no church. What if your church was taken away from you and you couldn't go to church? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you would it really affect if next week you showed up and there was no church? The windows were boarded up. We now live in a country ruled by a bunch of communists that tell us we can't go to church. They're trying to enforce Islam in America. How would you feel if you pulled up next Sunday and the windows were boarded up and you were threatened? If they saw a King James Bible in your hand again, you'd have your life taken away. How many would it really affect if there was no preacher in your town, if there was no ministry for your kids or your grandkids, how many of us would it really affect? Or how many of us would just go on about our lives and say, you know what? This really wasn't my problem anyway. Folks, God made it your problem when you got saved. God made it my problem when He saved me. And if I could go back on all the times I've been disobedient to the Lord, but here's the problem with that, I can't. I can't look at the past. You can't look at the past. You want to know who wants to help you focus on the past? That devil does. But what you can do is put your foot down and say, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Verse 15 in Acts 11, we see another result of obedience. In verse 15, the Bible says, and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them and on us at the beginning. We see the man of God that was sent speaking. And as he was speaking, the Holy Ghost began to work on the individuals. This is why missionaries are so important. This is why the local church has such a great responsibility to fast and pray and financially support God-sent missionaries. I said God-sent missionaries. I know a lot of people who call themselves God-sent, but they're not very God-sent. You say, how do you know that? Because my Bible says you'll know them by their fruits. The same Bible you should be reading. Be careful where you put your support. It matters. Without the Word of God being preached, many men and women and children will die without Jesus Christ. It is very important that we see the need to have missionaries. And not just to have missionaries, but to support them prayerfully and financially as God makes a way for us to do so. Notice in verse number 21, I like this, the hand of the Lord was with them. Why is it so important that the hand of the Lord, or what is so important about the hand of the Lord? Well, can I say this? God's hand made you and I. Did it not? He formed the earth with His what? Hands. He pretty much thought this thing into existence. God's hand made you and I. God's hand saved us from the punishment of sin. Amen? God's hand helps us in difficult times. I wonder how many of you could think of a time where you needed the hand of God in your life. That's kind of a dumb question. Reality is we need God every day. We often overlook the fact that without Him we are nothing. Nothing. God's hand helps us in difficult times. Obviously, the image of God's hand is symbolic, meaning power. You know how powerful God's hand is? But what's awesome about God's hand is not only is it powerful, but it's full of compassion. You ever think about that? How compassionate God's hand is? You say, I don't know what that means. Well, think about the day you got saved. Think about how wicked you and I are and how God still chose to send His only begotten Son, Jesus, to have His hand scarred for you and I. It's powerful. It's compassionate. It's strong, but it's also tender. I wonder how tender we are towards lost people. I wonder how tender we are when it comes to worlds unknown, people that will never see this side of heaven. I like to think of it like this. I believe one day, with all my heart, I believe that every single soul that was saved by every single, or every single soul that was told about Jesus and got saved, obviously the Holy Ghost did His job, but every single soul that was saved because of a missionary that we supported, I believe with all my heart that we'll meet them in heaven. And I think that when those hundreds, maybe thousands, of people come up and introduce themselves. Say, hey, I'm from Brazil. You know that missionary, Brother Pritchard, that you sent down here? He led me to the Lord. I just want to say thank you. And we might say what we say here, I don't know you from Adam, but we related. Amen. And you know, you might hear somebody from Glen Allen, Alaska. How many even knows where that is? Good. Some of you do. Obviously, you've been there. But they might come up to you in that native tongue and say, my name is such and such. I'm from Alaska. And I know Jesus. Thank you. That's what it's about. Amen. It's about eternal gain. I know Jesus because we're faithful. God's hand has a wonderful ability to do any and all things in any and all times. Amen? What does it mean to have the hand of the Lord upon you? It means that you have God's divine approval and that you welcome His authority in your life. I wonder how many of us would honestly say, I welcome the authority of the Holy Ghost in my life. I die daily, is what Paul said. For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. You welcome His authority in your life. It means you are being used of God to achieve God's divine purpose for your life. After all, who would actually want to live a life being called a Christian? And look, Christian, quote unquote, Christians are Christ-like. Amen? There's a difference in saved people and Christians. Christians are what? Christ-like people. There's often times that I'm not Christ-like. Now, I'm still saved, thank God, but I shouldn't claim to be a Christian 24/7. How about you? I could stand to be better. I'm just being honest. How much more like Christ could you stand to be? Who would really welcome the authority of the Holy Ghost of God in their life and say, God, whatever it is that you want me to do, I want to do it. And I want to do it gladly as unto you. When God's hand is upon us, we as a church will be unstoppable for the cause of Christ. When these missionaries come in next week and you get to meet them and hear their stories about how God is using them tremendously, what could you do through your family to allow us as a local church to support more missionaries prayerfully and financially? What could God allow you to do? What more could we do to influence eternity? How many more souls could be saved because of our obedience and sacrifice? I believe God wants us to do abundantly above and beyond with New Hope Independent Baptist Church. God's hand is very clearly on our church. We are seeing souls saved locally. It seems like often, and can I say that's a good thing that we see people saved often. You know, the moment that God stops saving people here, that we got an issue. And I know you're not going to see someone saved every single week. There's preachers out there that'll preach that performance-based Christianity. I don't believe in that stuff. I don't think you ought to, you know, there's churches out there that'll have competitions. Who can baptize the most people this week? Well, let me tell you something. Why baptize anybody if they're not saved? Amen? Why? What's the point? This ain't about performance-based. This is about being obedient unto God and watching Him produce results. Because He will. He has to if we're faithful. God cannot lie. Amen. It's about Him and Him producing results. Seeing these young people saved are a good thing. But there are souls worldwide that we personally will never reach. But there are men and women who God will send our way that can reach them. My prayer this week is this. Would you, as individual families, Miss Barb's going to come to the piano, and this altar is going to be open. And here's the challenge this morning. I know our missions conference is starting next week. But I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, the piano's going to play, this altar's going to be open. I wonder how many families, and I know some of you may not be able to come, But if you're right there in your seat or whether you're here at the altar, I wonder how many families would just say, Brother Drew, I want to accept that challenge. I want to know what God could do through my family this next year. Listen, nobody's looking around. The live stream's off.